Morning and Merry Christmas to all. And I thought this morning, being a celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'd go to Luke chapter 2. I actually titled this, "What Are Your Thoughts?" And so reading through this, there is a progression of learning here. And again, it's always a privilege to touch the Word of God, to see the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. And then the privilege of preaching the Word of God is awesome. So I thank God for that privilege. We'll wait for the children to leave. I'm going to ask that you look at Luke chapter 2 and going to read the first 8 verses. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the opportunity again to listen to you. We ask that you put this servant of yours aside and that you would have the fullness that you would have to teach us your word. So shine the scriptures to our hearts, Father. We would ask that every one of us would be edified and that you would be honored and glorified. So we ask for your help. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If I break it down, I always have a story, so I will give you the story. But then it's going to be God's offer of new life. And then if you looked at Luke 8 through 14, you will see love, joy, and peace. If you looked at verses 15 through 20, next section would be from fear to fear to glorifying and praising God. And then the last section, 21 through 24, if we get to it, the heart of Jesus, new beginnings, obedience, humility, and sacrifice. And these are some thoughts. Calvin Coolidge, he's the 30th president of the United States, said this about Christmas. He said, "Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind, to cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, and to have the real spirit of Christmas." The only thing I would change in that little statement, which I think was a great statement, was Christmas is not a time or season, but a state of the heart. And the heart feeds the mind. And that would be the only thing that I would change. He's in Philippians 2:5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which is Christ Jesus." And when that word mind there really directs to the heart, the story. The angel's angel. He was an 8-year-old man, or 8-year-old boy. His name was Jeremy. He was handicapped. He had a foot problem when he was handicapped. It was Christmas time, and the place of Christmas time was Walmart's, believe it or not. And what was a spiritual project from the Sunday school group leader, and that what they were going to do is they had a Christmas tree at Walmart, and on the Christmas tree were blue and pink angels. And on each of the cards with the angels on it is a boy, a girl, and what they would have, a Christmas wish list of what they could have. Well, Jeremy was all excited. He had great enthusiasm, and it was contagious. The group leader actually divided it up into a couple of groups, and to put them at the front doors and the back doors of Walmart as people would come in. Well, as people came in, it was kind of discouraging because people didn't want to give. They actually said, no, thank you. Some of them wouldn't even look at the group of kids that were doing this project. But Jeremy had a different thought. He, again, had great enthusiasm about the Lord. So he put on a Santa's hat. And when a person came in and ignored him, what he did was he went alongside their carriage, and this is what he said. Their moms and dads don't have enough money for presents. If we don't help them, they won't get anything for Christmas. All we have to do is go pick an angel off the tree and buy a toy for just $10 or $15. If that's too much, you can give us some money, and we'll collect more money until we have enough to buy a present for you. And this little kid of 8 years old with a handicap would do this for 3 hours. Now, some of the people that came in, well, they turned the carriage around and went back to the tree and picked off an angel. But others said, well, here's just some money. And so when he got enough money, Jeremy went to the group leader and says, can we go buy a couple of presents? And they did. And then one of the people went over and said, how could anyone resist that angelic face? And Jeremy, with a handicap on the foot, did this for 3 hours straight without losing stride. I'm sure he was very sore and tired, but he had great enthusiasm. When you looked at the tree, it was empty of angels. Jeremy actually beamed with pride when the youth leader praised him for working so hard for the needy children. Jeremy was, again, an 8-year-old boy working for needy children. From Jerry's point of view, this is what he said, that he received the greatest gift. He received a heart, a full heart for bringing joy to others. You know, I found that story, and then again, because of COVID, we, Phyllis and I, couldn't go out and do shopping. So I went out and we got a few moments in Walmart, and we wore our masks after the quarantine was done. We did this. And what did I see in the corner? Was a Christmas tree with angels on it. I thought, how interesting. I was going to leave the name Walmart out. But then when I saw the tree, the only thing that was missing was Jeremy. But I thought, how? And there was like 4 or 5 blue and pink angels left on the tree. I thought, how wonderful a big store like that would take a moment and reach out to the needy people. Anyways, as we think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, now, he had this from the foundation of the world. He knew what was going to go on. And if we read the first few verses, we would see that God is offering a new life. I want you to key in on verse 7. And it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A brother read something about that this morning. And the question I would have is, how much room do you give him? How much room do we give the Lord Jesus Christ? He has given us new life. He has given us eternal life. You know, when we get to the millennium, our life will change. But when we get to the new heaven and the new earth, our life is even going to change more than it did in the millennium or today on this church age. It's going to be given a full room to the Lord Jesus Christ and all his thoughts and all his ways. So what are your thoughts? We look at, if you looked at Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, you'll see he was named Jesus. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Well, Jesus means to rescue, to deliver, to save. It's the same name as Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, and that's new life brought forth. So when we think about new life, what do we think about in our lifetime and what we do and what we say and what we think? Does it all wrap around the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's the gift, and our hearts wrap around him. He says it's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, that's always a challenge for me because I've heard preaching on that. Our brother has already talked about that, about swaddling clothes. Is it, in fact, grave clothes? And I searched and I looked and I don't know. You know, it's a great thought, though, that if he is in the strap, the swaddling clothes, the strips of cloth, well, that shows that he was born to die, but then he's born to live forever. Philippians 2, 6 and 8 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? And so what we actually see is that this little child carried the heart of heaven with him. And with this heart, we understand that he, in fact, if we understood that he is, in fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would our life change today? If we knew and we were one of the disciples or apostles that walked around and lived with Jesus Christ at that time, would our life change? You know, something that we're even very privileged people because he lives within us. He abides within us. How much room do I give the Lord Jesus Christ in my daily walk, in my daily thoughts, in my daily words, in my daily actions? You know, again, Philippians 2, 6 through 8, we read 6, verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Can you imagine what he was doing there? He was becoming a man, 100% man, so that he could be the true Savior, so that he could understand all the challenges of life that you and I go through, from the prosperities to the sufferings. It goes in verse 8 and says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's the challenge of a new life for us, beloved, is that do we sacrifice our life for our neighbor, for our friends, for our family, for our enemies? Do we sacrifice? Well, we were enemies with God, and yet he came and sacrificed his life. We have been given a privilege of having new life. He laid him in a manger. And there was no room again for him in the inn. That's in John chapter 1, 9 through 13, it says, that was the true light, that lighteth unto every man that cometh into the world. You know, Jesus Christ is the light. He's the new life. He's the one that opened the hearts of mankind. It's also caused a ruckus around the world today. There are all kinds of evil that will attack Christians, but are we doing what our Lord said to do? Are we also the light of the world, which he said we were in Matthew 5? And if we're the light of the world, that means we have to have new life. And that new life is to honor Jesus Christ again. And I'll repeat this over and over again in our words, our actions, and our thoughts. We have to give all the room that the Lord Jesus Christ wants in our life. And he wants it all. He doesn't want a makeshift life from any one of us. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's verses 10 through 13 of John chapter 1. So we have been given the privilege of having new life. And the interesting part of all this is that with that new life that we have, we're accountable. God is going to place us in a place of accountability, not to condemn us, because there is no condemnation for those that believe in him, but to reward us, to give us bounty so that we can give it back to him when we get to the gates of heaven and every day of our life, our new life. So these are some of the thoughts when I read those first 7-8 verses. So I want to ask you to go now to verses 8 through 14 and pick it up again. And we already read 8, but we'll read it again. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And you stop and you look at that 8 through 14 and you say, well, all right, now but pick it up from new life now. Now you're a shepherd. And one of the things I've learned through the scriptures, whether it be in Isaiah all the way to John chapter 10, even in here in these, God places a heavy accountability on shepherds. He was concerned when there was people who had no shepherd. And you would see that in Isaiah chapter 40. You will see that in John chapter 10. And you heard last week about what a shepherd does. Every sheep knows the voice of a shepherd. And when they came into the city, they would put all the sheep in one big pen. There could be 200 to 300 sheep in a pen, but when the shepherd came to the gate, he would call out by name his sheep. That's how personal it was. And the sheep would come. That's how obedient the sheep were. And they would go to the shepherd. And he could take them from a flock of 200 to 300 while they were in the city. And you stop and you say, well, wait a minute. Now, what if I key in on these verses? What verses, what would be your thoughts on these particular verses? And so I suggest verse 10 and 14. 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Here you have love, joy, and peace. But it's fear to fear, too. Imagine you're a shepherd. You're in the starry night, and it's dark as can be, except for the stars. And all of a sudden, like football lights on a night game, come on. Just blasting out sunlight in a dark night. And then you see this spectacular vision of an angel. By the way, angels. It drives me nuts when I go to the Big E or any other place who has crafts and they have angels and they only have two wings. I've not seen two wings and an angel except maybe at the mercy seat where the angels brought their wings over. But it's always 4 to 6 wings. How does, no, crafters can't do that well, I'm sure. How do you do that? And have 6 wings, cover your eyes, cover your waist, cover your mouth, ready to fly. I'm always amazed by that. And so Phyllis says, look at these angels. I says, I can't. anyways, that's a sidestep. Love under new life, there is nothing to fear. You know, it says in John, 1 John chapter 4, 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not perfect in love. And I'm wondering, beloved, do you ever fear? And if you do, what do you do when you get a little bit on the afraid side? Do you go to the Lord so that he can mature you and bring you to that point? 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Guess where God lives? If you're a believer, he lives in our heart. And if he lives in our heart, how can I fear? Yeah, there are times in the world that's scary. But if I put our direction towards the Almighty God, there's no fear. You can actually wipe out the fear. Now, I'm thinking of your shepherd. You're out in the fields, and you see this spectacular sight. And all of a sudden, the angel says, fear not. And so right away, what do? No fear. Everything's cool. I don't think that's what happened to the shepherds. I think it took a little bit of time. I think it took a little bit of thought on their part and realized that the angels are there to comfort and to give peace and to offer their love so that joy can come. Beloved, if you fear and you're scared, you have a lack of joy, because fear overrides joy, but God overrides fear. So when it says fear to fear, I say stop being scared and start going to the reverence of God, because that's another name for reverence is fear when you break down the Greek. And so the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Notice it wasn't just joy, it was great joy. But before we do that, let's continue with love. Because, beloved, love is the driving force of our new life. Our new life should have no fear in it. Our new life should that we would do good to all men, and that we would have peace, and that we would have not just joy, but great joy. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 gives us the formula to have that kind of joy. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done with strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you look at that, and that's the practical life living under our new life. If we have any consolation, it's in Christ. He's the one. And then he tells us over and over again, if you want to fulfill his joy, the Apostle Paul is writing this, but if you want to fulfill the Lord's joy, what do you have to do is to but have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He has given us one fruit, just one fruit, nine parts. And do we let the parts use us, or do we try to go use it? And if you try to go use it, it won't work. Because if you have any anxiousness, any fear, it's going to override it. You have to let the Holy Spirit work you. And that means you have to make room in your inn for the Almighty God. It takes practice. It takes work. It takes maturity. It's right away when you're first born again, it may take a while. Some people are fast learners. Some people are slow learners. whatever the case is, continue to give more and more to Christ. Give him more room each and every day that you can. Love him more today than you did yesterday. And as you look at this and you say, let nothing be done with strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. That lowliness of mind is the heart of Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me that are meek and lowly of heart. This is his heart. It's the only place in Scripture that talks about Jesus Christ's heart. Lowliness of mind is a total dependence on him. Meekness is humility towards man. Lowliness is humility towards God. And let him regulate your life. Turn it over to him. Open the doors of your room so that he can fulfill everyone. This is the challenge, beloved, where it says in Philippians 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's interesting. If you ever talk to anybody, I think I've mentioned this before, let them talk for 1 minute. Don't interrupt them. They'll give you their life. You'll know what to do things and say to them, to console them, or to encourage them, but let them talk. Don't interrupt them, because they're spilling out their life. And it's not bad, because we spilled out our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we may not have done it verbally, but in our hearts, we were anxious. In our hearts, we may have been confused. In our hearts, we may have been all kinds of things, scared, whatever the case may be. And he knew what we were thinking. If you study your scriptures, scriptures will come out to help you and guide you. But it's what you put in is what you'll get out. Make room for the Almighty God. Joy under our new life. What is this joy under our new life, that there should be joy in our heart? This is what the Lord wants for us. Joy in our heart. People break that joy word down by the letter, right? Jesus, others, and you. I remember that before I was a Christian, and people would drill that into me. So when I was just a tyke, I learned that it was always Jesus first, others second, and me last. And I was thinking, how many times do we put me last? We always put me right up front. And that's where you talk to a person and they open up their life to you, because they're not concerned about other things. A lot of times when you're talking to a person, I'm not saying in this room, by the way, I'm not challenging anybody in this room, but a lot of times when you're listening to someone else and then you get your opportunity, they're still thinking about what they've just said. They're not thinking about, oh, you're hurting. Oh, you're upset. Oh, you have joy in your heart. And if you start to say you have joy in your heart, they're thinking, why can't I have that? It's a world that's messed up out there. Why can't I have it? Anybody ever say to you, I wish I had what you have in your heart? Do you have that kind of peace? Well, that's what the Lord would have us to do. Joy under our new life should be focusing our life on Jesus Christ, giving him all the room that he deserves. Discovery of a true treasure. If you looked at the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in Luke 15. We're not going to go and study each of the parables this morning, because we certainly don't have that kind of time. But if you looked in there, you would see that there's three parables there that bring joy to heaven. The first one would be the lost sheep. One sheep got lost, and there was 99, and so the shepherd leaves the flock. I always get that. I always thought about that. Why would you leave a flock, shepherd, to go look for that one sheep? But you got to remember that there's sheepdogs too, and the sheepdogs protect the sheep. See, was it mercy and grace followed me all the days of my life? Those are your sheepdogs. And you stop and you look at that in verse 7 of Luke 15, it says, I say unto you likewise, shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Every shepherd recovered a sheep that was repentful. You remember when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that there was a celebration in heaven because you repented? Because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there's a party going on. Look forward to the day that when we get to the glories of heaven and we can join in a daily party because we'll be with Jesus Christ. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The second parable in Luke 15 would be the lost coin. The stress, the joy of the Lord, which is the reward of faithfulness. And he's got this woman who had the coins and she lost one, but she would be faithful in searching for it until she found it. In verse 10 it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And again, the focus is coming down to the born again. To the joy in heaven. The angels now are gathering in to celebration. Anybody ever wish to see an angel? I mean, with the four and six wings. I don't mean with cardboard or wood and feathers. I mean a real angel. I always look forward to seeing something like that. Heaven's joy is over one sinner that repenteth. The third one is, I guess you probably know this one, probably just as well as the others, is the prodigal son. It's in verse 11 through 32 of chapter 15, it's a long one. The stress is the joy of the heavenly father in the return of an obedient son to him. In Luke 15, 24, it says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This time it was a joy on earth, but it was also a joy in heaven. Joy is the result of repentance that brings us to our new life in Christ. Joy is faithfulness we see and experience in God. Joy is knowing our obedience pleases our Heavenly Father. That's the joy. That's the room that we give him every day of our life and our thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus, who abides in us, gives us the gift of joy. Tap into that gift. You know, we see it. Matter of fact, the three words you see at Christmas time over and over again is love, joy, and peace. And yet, if I look at the world, matter of fact, forget the world. Let me take Walmart again. And all the sales that are going on. And there's one particular sweater you see that you want. And every other person wants. So what do? We step aside and say, have the sweater. Or do we fight for it? I see lack of joy when it comes to bickering and fighting for things. John 15, 11, this is what Jesus said. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is in the upper room ministry when he is getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary and he looks at it as a joy. Not that he's going to be hung on a cross of Calvary, but the joy that he opened the gateway for you and I to be in heaven with him because we are under his new life. In John 16, 24, it says, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I always found that one interesting too, because a lot of people would pray, well, I would really need a new car. That may not be God's will. See, when you're asking in the name of Jesus, you're asking according to his will, according to his ways, according to his purpose. Are we connected? You know how you get fully connected is giving him the room in the heart of our new life. In John 17 now he's praying before he goes to the cross. And he says in verse 13, "And now come I to thee." He's talking to the Heavenly Father. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." See, joy deals with living our new life in doing the will of Jesus Christ. But to know the will of Jesus Christ, you have to know Jesus Christ. And to know Jesus Christ is not putting him aside, but putting him in the depth of your heart. You know, measure how much time you have that you put into the world. Then measure how much time you have putting into Jesus Christ. And remember what he did. He put his whole life into you and I. His whole life into you and I. And what do we get from this? But love, which casts out fear. We get joy that gets us through darkness. And we get the peace that passes all understanding. And by the way, since we said that, let's go to the peace section of this. Our new life in Jesus Christ gives us unity and peace with him. If you're unified with Jesus Christ, you will have the peace. Our new life in Jesus Christ gives us a gift of peace with him. Isaiah 9:6, and that's the Christmas verse, right? It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father," and here it is, "the Prince of Peace." In John 14:27, again in the upper room ministry, when he's told them he's ready to leave, he offers them another gift. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember the shepherds? Remember the angel? Remember the fear? And he said, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings." In John 16:33, again in the upper room ministry, before he's going to the cross, he's talking peace. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." He didn't sugarcoat it, did he? He says, "In the world you will have tribulation." But he said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's overcome the world. What's the worst that can happen to us? Well, if we go through sufferings and tribulation, we will learn. We will learn. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and I'll get to that learning part in a minute. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Now, supplication is a deeper prayer. "Supplication, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." These are promises, beloved. They're not just words that he speaks and says, "All right, go ahead, take your next step." These are promises to hold on to. New life in Jesus Christ brings love, joy, and peace into your changed heart. Your heart is changing. But if you don't give the time, if you don't give your appearance, you will not receive the experience that you need to have to grow in Jesus Christ. It's interesting how many people, because of activities, will miss worship and serving God. Miss the opportunity to use the gift that you have for one another. Miss the opportunity of consoling a soul that's hurting or encouraging a person that's growing. You miss these opportunities. You miss the opportunities of learning from Scripture to challenge your changed life and your changed heart because you forsake the assembling of the saints. We'll go to the next section, 15 through 20. And it says this, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them." Now they had a changed life, beloved. Those shepherds had a changed life. They had a changed heart. They experienced the actuality of seeing the Christ child. The promises of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel is coming to happen, and they see it. Now their life has changed. I can't help but think, I think it was brought up last time, that we have the good, great, and chief shepherd. If you ever stop and think of it, in John 10, 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, it reveals much about the good shepherd's love, knowledge, and protection of his people. That's present, beloved. That's your present shepherd. He's good. I love that rich man, or that man that wanted to know, how do I get into heaven? And he runs to Jesus, and he says, good master. And Jesus doesn't say how to get into heaven right off. He says this, why callest thou me good? If you ever stop, what is good? What's your definition of good? And if in God's eyes, I suggest that it anything that pleases God, that's good. If you looked at Hebrews 13 and 20, it says about the great shepherd, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the past. He died for you and I to open up the gates of heaven, to open up the gates of our heart, to give him all the room that he deserves. He gave us new life. And then you go to the future, the chief shepherd. It says that in verse Peter, chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Can you imagine that? Again, he's not there to condemn us. He's there to reward us because we opened up our room for him. Because we have left fear and followed reverence. Because we now, like the shepherds who made haste in going to see the child, made haste. Are we making haste, beloved, and running to our scriptures to see the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only on Christmas, but every day of our life? Making haste, starting off our day, whether you're a night person and you work during the day, or get up early, get up later at night because you work at night, whatever the case is, whenever you get up, do you make haste in seeing what the Lord would have you to do today? What would please the Lord to do today? Remember, he's the King of Kings, and he's coming again. Don't let him come and find you sleeping. But the shepherds, their new life was praising and glorifying God, seeking the Lord, they made haste. So I suggest daily we seek the Lord and make haste. Making known the child, how well do you know Jesus Christ so that you can make him known to others? You may be the only Bible someone reads. They evangelize, verse 17. They witness, verse 18. And then wondering and pondering, they meditated. Meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven's message. And Mary filled her heart with heaven's message. And you see that she, you know, some religions put her too high and other religions put her too low. But what we know about Mary is that she's blessed amongst women. She carried Jesus. Glorifying God, we have a duty and a responsibility to glorify God by giving to him the worship and reverence which are due him. You've got to love the psalmist. He says in Psalm 22 and 3, now this is supposedly the Lord on the cross of Calvary and all his thoughts, but this is what it said. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. See, fear the Lord, not being afraid of him, but reverencing him. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And we are the seed of Abraham, beloved. We're born again. Matthew 5 and 16, when he talks about the millennium, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We can do that today. We are the light of the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2, so one time offer that you sacrifice. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship or service. That word service is worship. But then he challenges us with verse 2 and says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to stop here, but I want you to reflect on the thoughts that are in Luke chapter 2. I get to speak again on January 8th, and I'm going to talk about the second half of this, because you'll see he was circumcised on the eighth day. Eight in numerology is new beginnings, and we have a responsibility of new beginnings. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, see your word, touch your word, hear your word. But Father, may you have all honor and may you have all glory. If our life is changed, we thank you for it. If our life is stagnant, then we ask that you would motivate us into such a way that we honor and glorify you and make haste to see what you would have us to see. Until we meet again, we would ask that you bless each and every one that visits, that is here, fellowshipping, that we would honor you and glorify you in all things. Keep us protected. May the riches of your grace fall upon all of us. May we all have a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. In his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.